And when it came time, given the premises of this hysteria, you got a bunch of poison out there. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to bury it and ruin the water? Are you going to burn up the poison and stick it in the air and do that kind of harm? Actually, in my humble judgment, this was more hysteria than reality. But the point is, if you're going to have to face the electorate, you're going to have to explain your position. And I think just as Moody, as I recall, was, and this is all scuttlebutt kind of stuff that I'm relating now, and I would identify it as scuttlebutt stuff. But I can remember, the speaking of the voltage, how charged up the public was. Mm-hmm. And if some fellow voted to poison us one way or the other, that was pretty heavy stuff in a political campaign.
Well, if that was the case, I don't remember that it was. What I do remember, you see, none of this is as simple as it might be. Mm-hmm. The culture, the judicial culture of the Michigan Supreme Court, all the time I was there, and I'm told that for a long time before I got there, and until very recently, has been one in which the productivity of the court, the pace of productivity of the court, could be severely criticized. The culture was that if a justice were assigned an opinion, and he wrote the opinion, or she did, and circulated it among the colleagues, any colleague could hold the circulated opinion with a view to writing a dissent as long as he wanted to. There was no tradition of peer pressure in the Supreme Court to get the work out within any stated period of time. In the United States Supreme Court, for example, it's only tradition. It's not even a rule. The tradition in that court is no case goes undecided beyond a year. The Supreme Court convenes the first time in October. It recesses the next July. All the opinions are out by July, no matter what it takes to do it. Such a thing is unheard of in the Michigan Supreme Court, and so the bench and bar knew for years and years, decades, that opinions in our court might be up there for a year and a half, 2 years, or longer. There wasn't the adequate peer pressure to get it out. I understand that's been corrected by Chief Justice Riley and the members of the court now. But the Michigan Supreme Court was not a hot court. It was not a court whose tradition, it was what is called a cold court. It was not a court whose tradition was that the justices were thoroughly prepared in the cases before oral argument. I'm shifting now from your question about the impact of the political campaigning, but I do want to talk about this last subject of the hot court versus cold court along the way. The political campaigning is seriously detrimental to the judicial mission in the Supreme Court. Every justice who is appointed to that court or elected to it knows that the Michigan Supreme Court is the one level in the Michigan judiciary which has the highest turnover as a result of rejection at the polls of incumbents.
It is interesting, if I may point it out, that in the Court of Appeals, I don't think there has ever been an incumbent defeated.
That's correct. No incumbent has ever been defeated.
But in the Supreme Court, this can happen and does happen.
It happens regularly. Chief Justice Dethmers was knocked off after 23 years in the court, largely because the other names in the ballot were G. Menon Williams and John Swainson. Justice Mike O'Hara, who had been elected to the court, was knocked off the court because he was defeated by a man by the name of Thomas G. Kavanaugh, with a K, when there was another Thomas Kavanaugh on the court. You know all this, but our readers might not.
That's right.
Before that,
Adams?
Paul Adams, the former mayor of Kalamazoo, I think.
Sault Ste.
Marie. Was defeated for reasons which I've always understood were internal and political to the Democratic Party. Clark Adams, his brother, who was a distinguished trial judge in Oakland County was on the court for a short time. He was knocked off. As I said, the best lawyer with whom I have ever worked in my life, Larry Lindemer, was defeated the first time he went to the polls to be retained because Lindemer is not an electable name. During my own time, Thomas Giles Kavanaugh was ultimately defeated. None of these men, in my opinion, were turned out of the court by the public because of any shortcoming in their judicial philosophy, any inefficiency, but always for a reason that has nothing to do with the vitally important components of service in the Supreme Court. So all of us knew that. High turnover rate. So when you campaign to remain on the court, as I did twice, you know it's you got to give it all you can possibly give it. When you're appointed to the Supreme Court, if you've had a law practice, it folds up. It goes away. And you very often have nothing to go back to. Justice Dethmers was defeated in the Supreme Court and died within 6 months, partly of a broken heart and partly because he had nothing to do.